The Sea Grant Files, fresh news about fresh water.
Hi, I'm Jesse Schomburg, and you're listening to the Sea Grant Files. I've invited Don Schreiner, Minnesota Sea Grant's fisheries specialist, to join me in the studio to talk about aquaculture in Minnesota, particularly the potential for raising fish like walleye and salmon for food. Welcome back to the Sea Grant Files, Don.
Hey, Jesse, good to be back.
So, Don, you've been involved in many discussions about raising fish in Minnesota over the course of your career, first with the Minnesota DNR and now with Minnesota Sea Grant. How have the discussions changed or stayed the same over the last 30 years?
In the early 1980s, when I was working out in the Fergus Falls area in western Minnesota, aquaculture was mostly dealing with bait fish industry. And in the western part of the state, there were a lot of bait fish dealers and growing minnows in natural ponds, both fatheads and suckers. And most of these are used in the state, but they also shipped a lot of these outside the state. And then in the late 1980s and early 1990s, a number of these growers started getting into rearing walleye for stocking into our lakes. And that actually involved into quite a few folks raising walleyes, and they sold them back to the DNR for stocking purposes. Now, recently, over the last 5 to 10 years, there's been a real increase in interest in food fish aquaculture. And there's always been hobbyists that have been working on raising fish for food, but now it seems to be moving into a commercial scale with a lot of technological changes that are making this more suited for Minnesota. Overall, we have to be careful, though, that if food fish aquaculture is to succeed, it needs to be sustainable, economically viable, but it also needs to be environmentally safe.
So why would Minnesotans want to encourage a food fish aquaculture industry in the state?
So nationwide, there's a real trade deficit in seafood. And when I talk about seafood, that means fish and shrimp and shellfish as well. Predictions are that fish and seafood will become one of the major sources of protein over the next 100 years. So as far as Minnesota goes, there's probably four major reasons why Minnesota should be interested. First, you know, we've pretty much maxed out what we can harvest from wild stocks, so aquaculture would help that out. Food security is also a major issue. There's been some real health concerns about how seafood and fish are reared overseas, where most of ours comes from. Use of chemicals, antibiotics, contaminants, and mislabeling are all issues that seem to be prevalent in imported seafood. And really, folks in Minnesota want to know where their food comes from so they can trust what they're eating. Thirdly, there's been a lot of interest in locally grown and sustainable food. A lot of that really stems from trying to save energy. You know, rather than transporting your food 4,000 miles from halfway across the world, it'd be better to transport it 4 miles or maybe 40 miles. And lastly, aquaculture could create quite a few local jobs, which would add to the Minnesota economy.
So it seems like some pretty good reasons. So what kinds of things are folks looking at raising in Minnesota food fish farms? I imagine there's some things in the ocean that we're certainly not going to be raising, but what kind of things are folks considering?
Yeah, traditionally, you know, most folks who've raised fish for food have kind of gravitated towards rainbow trout. They've been reared in Minnesota for a while. And some growers have also worked with imported species called tilapia. But it's an relatively easy fish to grow, but they could not make a profit on it because there's so much foreign competition. So more recently, there's been a lot of interest in using cold water species, of course, which Minnesota has quite a bit of cold water. Cool water species that most people are interested in Minnesota seems to be the walleye, which is really not a surprise since it's the state fish and it's a part of the fish community in many of our inland lakes. And there's also been a real interest in growing shrimp recently, the same type of shrimp that you get in the ocean, but that's looking like they're working on that in the southwestern portion of Minnesota near the Marshall area. So stay tuned.
Kind of getting back to some of the other species like walleye or a trout, how do folks actually go about raising these species?
So recently, there's been some real advances in technology. And as we talked about with the shrimp, these RAS systems, these recirculating aquaculture systems, where the water's filtered and reused. You don't have to heat it over and over. You can heat it once and keep using it. And normally, like I mentioned with shrimp, they're very contained, using indoor tanks. They're rather expensive to start up, but once they're built, they're pretty efficient to run and well-suited for large commercial-scale aquaculture. In fact, Wisconsin just built the largest aquaponics facility in the world. And aquaponics uses the recirculating system, but they not only grow fish, they also grow plants in these systems. So it looks like, you know, these RAS systems are probably the way to go in Minnesota if you're going to go large scale, because you get around the climate conditions, and yet we do have a lot of water in Minnesota that we can use, although, you know, these systems don't initially require a whole lot of water. The other type of rearing that's been talked about is net pens, and we've used those a little bit in some of our mine pits, lakes, and with some limited success. So those are just a few of the types of facilities people are looking at.
Don, so what are some of the concerns and barriers to the food fish aquaculture industry in Minnesota? What's some of the things that make it really hard? I imagine you talked a little bit about climate before and it being kind of a cold place, but what are some of the other things that folks are facing?
Yeah, well, one of the biggest concerns is implementing aquaculture without jeopardizing or putting at risk kind of the wealth of the natural resources we have in Minnesota. And really what I'm thinking about here are wild fish stocks and some of the great water quality we have when in our lakes. I mean, we're the land of 10,000 lakes, and the recreational fishery brings in about $4 billion of indirect investment in the state. And then we're always concerned about fish escaping with genetic contamination and introduction of unwanted species, along with potential disease issues that you see whenever fish are reared in crowded areas. You know, like you mentioned earlier, we also have a really cold climate with a very short growing season, so it's hard to compete with states like Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas, where a lot of fish are grown in outside ponds. In fact, some of these are some of the largest producers of catfish and other species in the world, and they do really well there, but, you know, it's going to be tough for us to compete with those. Startup level costs for these facilities is pretty expensive, and there hasn't been much state support for that. So I think that, you know, we need to kind of work with our state agencies and our ag agencies to see if we can get a little funding available for some of the folks that are interested in this. And then one of the major bottlenecks, kind of a more technical and biological nature, is supplying an egg source for these facilities on a year-round basis.
Thanks so much for joining us, Don. It's exciting to think that maybe someday in the not-too-distant future we might get to eat prairie shrimp and farm fresh walleye that were sustainably grown here in Minnesota. Thanks for putting some thought into America's food security, how farming fish for food might become possible in a community like Duluth, Roseville, or Brainerd. This episode of the Sea Grant Files was produced by Sharon Moen, Christian Erickson, Maya Jensen, KUMD, and me, Jesse Schomburg. To find more information on aquaculture in Minnesota, or to listen to more episodes of the Sea Grant Files, and to subscribe to our podcast, visit the Minnesota Sea Grant website at www.seagrant.umn.edu. You can also follow Minnesota Sea Grant on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.